Amen. It's good to be here tonight. Again, thank the Lord for another opportunity to be at our home church and excited about what the Lord is doing in our lives. And thank the Lord that you're here tonight. Appreciate you coming this evening. If you will tonight, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I thank the Lord for the day He gave me and my wife. I fought the battle of water heater today, and I won. I thank the Lord for that. I was able to get a water heater installed, and I tell you, it was a challenge, but we got it done, and thank the Lord for that. And so now we have hot water in our new house, and so we're there, look like permanently, Lord, looks like, Lord willing. And so we're very grateful for that, and pray the Lord will continue to help. Her brother's hopefully going to bring the washing machine this week, and got a couple of little odds and ends to do, so just pray all that goes smooth for us, but the Lord's been good. Appreciate everybody that came and helped us last night. I tell you, if I ever need somebody to go out and help me loot a building, I know who to call. Doug Burrows, he can do it. He helped me move those boxes and got that stuff taken care of well, but I thank the Lord for those men that came and helped us last evening. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 tonight, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, thank you, Lord, again for the opportunity to be in our home church tonight. Thank you, Lord, for these that have gathered. Thank you, Lord, for everything that's been going on, Lord, in the service. Lord, I think about Master's Club and the young people, Lord, there with Shane. I believe that's going on, Father, and I thank you for that tonight. Father, I do pray now, Lord, it's come time for preaching. Lord, I pray, God, that you please empty me of myself. Lord, I pray you'd give me the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's necessary tonight. I pray, God, that you'd remove any pride, any sin, anything that would hinder you using me this evening. Father, I pray you'd give me clarity of thought, mind. Lord, give me great liberty. Give me good pace as I preach, Lord. Help me not to be nervous. Father, I pray for my audience tonight. May they listen with open ears and open hearts and be receptive to the Word of God. May sinners be convicted and brought to a place of repentance. May Christians be challenged, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice, if you will, tonight we have the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And here in the first part of this chapter, in verse number 1, I notice a phrase that I'd like to point out simply by way of introduction. And that phrase is this: by the will of God. Let me say tonight that whatever we're doing for the Lord, first and foremost, we need to be sure that it is God's will. There are a lot of people that are serving the Lord out of obligation. There are a lot of people that are serving the Lord because they believe no one else will do it or no one else will step up. But understand this tonight, if we're doing it out of obligation or we're doing it out of fear of the fact that no one else will step up and doing it, we're doing it out of the will of God. And God will not bless it, and God will not use it for His glory. I think about Paul. He said here that it was by God's will that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And we need to be sensitive to what the will of the Lord is for our lives. Let me say quickly tonight, three things that we can be sure of for God's will for every man, every woman, and every child's life. First of all, it is God's will for everyone to be saved. If you were to look over and you don't have to turn, but 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to uswards, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." It is 100% a surety that it is God's will for everyone to be born again and to be saved. Secondly, tonight, it is God's will for us to live for the Lord. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In other words, it is God's will for us to yield ourselves to the Lord, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, and live a life that would be pleasing unto God. And then thirdly, it is God's will for us to go and tell others of Christ. Matthew 28 and verse 19, you'll find two words, go ye. Go ye. We have an obligation and a responsibility as believers to reach the lost world around us. And so God's will is very important, and we must seek out what God's will is for each and every one of our lives. Understand, it's not everyone that's going to be called to preach. Not everyone's going to be called to be a missionary. Not everyone's going to be called to be a deacon or things like that. But God does have something for each one of us as individuals to do and to serve Him for tonight. Notice he goes on in verse number 2. And he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, peace always follows grace. And you cannot have peace without first having experienced the grace of God. There's a lot of folks today whose minds are troubled and they have no peace in their life. You say, why is that? It could be that they've never really experienced the grace of God. I remember growing up, I used to have a lot of fears, and I remember one was when my mom would turn Mays Jackson on the radio. And as I would listen to Mays Jackson, I would get under conviction, and my peace would go away, and I would beg my mama, turn that man off. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was working in my life. I had no peace when I heard the preaching of the Word of God. But I think about how that I've been saved, I've been born again, and now I go on YouTube and I look for Mays Jackson to listen to preaching. Why? Because his preaching helps me, it edifies me, and I don't have any problem with it now. Why? Because I've experienced the grace of God. I now have peace in my life because of the grace of God. Notice where both grace and peace come from. It comes from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the little word our. That's an important word. You say, why is that important? Because it's speaking of a personal relationship with Christ. Understand, every one of us needs to be born again, and we need to have that personal relationship with the Lord. With my mother, she had a personal relationship with the Lord. I had no problem listening to Mays Jackson. But as I got grown up, and continued to grow, and I got saved, and I developed and got a personal relationship with the Lord, I didn't have any trouble with listening to Brother Mays Jackson. Notice verse number 3, the Bible says here, it says, blessed be God. The Apostle Paul begins to bless the Lord. He begins to magnify the Lord. Why is he doing this? Well, number 1, because God was the Father of mercies. Of mercies. That word mercies means compassion. It means charity or the act of sparing. God is the Father of mercies. That word is plural. That means God has shown us many mercies. Many mercies. I don't know about you, and we probably don't even realize all the mercy that God has showed us today. You think about being able to get up out of bed, being able to function, being able to go about our daily business. That is of the mercies of God that we're able to do that. I think about my family, how that we've traveled all these many miles and been in a lot of different places. And I remember one event, especially recently, it is of God's mercies that we hadn't been run over by a vehicle on the highway somewhere. You think about different things that you go through in your daily life. It is of God's mercies that we're where we're at in our lives. I'm reminded of a verse in Lamentations chapter 3. Verse number 22, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. You see, God has new mercy reserved for me and reserved for you on a daily basis. If you think about it tonight, if we were God and we were in control of man, we would be playing whack-a-mole tonight. That one messed up. Wham! That one messed up. Wham! But God continues to extend mercy and grace and kindness to us. Notice, secondly, He's blessing God because He is the God of all comfort. All comfort. The word comfort simply means to relieve or help. It means to strengthen the mind when depressed, to console, to give new vigor to the spirit. God is the God of all comfort. I'm thankful tonight that we can find comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalms 4 and verse number 8, the psalmist said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Psalms 23 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." In John 14 and verse 1, the Lord Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Down in verse number 18 of the same chapter, He said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." You see, tonight, the psalmist could write of the comforts of God and could sleep because he knew the comfort of the Lord. Not only that, but the psalmist could walk through the valley of the shadow of death because he knew of the comfort of God. The disciples did not have to be worried or concerned. Why? Because they knew of the comfort of the Lord. Let me say tonight that life is full of trouble. Life is full of difficulties. And you and me as believers sometimes need a little bit of comfort. We need a little bit of comfort. I think about tonight that we live in a time where we have many comforts, but we have few comforts, or we have little comfort in our life. We have many comforts, but we have little comfort in our lives. You think about, we have air conditioning, we have cars, we have modern conveniences, we have a heat tonight. We have a lot of things that make us comfortable. Yet oftentimes in our lives, we're not at peace when we do not have comfort in our lives. A lot of times our minds are troubled, our minds are worried. A lot of times we're unable to disengage from things and shut things out because we haven't had God comfort our hearts like we ought to. We need to realize tonight that there are going to be good days and there are going to be bad days, both for those that are saved and for those that are lost. There are going to be times of trouble. There's going to be times of problems, times of depression, frustration, and issues. And what we need tonight is to find rest and peace in the God of all comfort. And tonight, for the time that I have remaining tonight, I'd simply like to give you three things concerning the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Let me say, first of all, tonight, if you'll look down in verse 4, there's three things we need to see here. Number one, I see a people comforted. A people comforted. Notice He says, "Who comforted us in all our tribulation." Notice we see the little word "us" here. You see, Paul had experienced the comfort of the Lord. Understand, here is a man of faith, a man who had suffered many things for the cause of Christ. And he knew what it was to experience God's comfort and God's peace. If you turn over to chapter number 11 of 2 Corinthians, you'll find a few things that the Apostle Paul experienced in his life. Notice in verse 24, the Bible says, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." Verse 25 says, "Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck." You know, me and Doug and Brother Shane were talking last night, and I told him, I said, "Look, I said, if you ever go on a cruise and you see the Apostle Paul is listed on the manifest to get on the boat, don't go. Three times he suffered shipwreck. Three times he experienced what it was to be lost at sea. Notice it says, a day and a night I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watching often, in hunger and thirst, and fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things which are without, or those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Man, the Apostle Paul went through it, didn't he? He had experienced a lot of things. But the Apostle Paul says here, "Blessed be God." Why? Because he knew what it was to be comforted of the Lord. He knew that despite all the things that he experienced, all the things that had come against him, all the things that he had gone through, God was there comforting his heart, giving him peace and encouraging him through all of those things. I think about tonight what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is there's going to be times of sorrow in our lives. There's just going to be times when things don't go the way we want them to go. There's going to be times of worry. There's going to be times of fear and uncertainty. There's going to be times of wealth and health, times of leanness and sickness, times of depression. There's going to be times of aggression. There's going to be times when we're on the valley or on the mountain, and other times when we're in the valley. But as we go through these different times, we need to realize that if we're born again, We're a child of God, and He has comforted us. We have been helped. We have been comforted tonight. I think about some of the things that me and my family have been through, some of the things that we have experienced, some of the things that we have faced, and I think about how that God every time comes and comforts our hearts. We can find rest and peace in all that we're going through. You know, David wrote about lying down and sleeping there in Psalms 4. Think about all that David had experienced in his life. How that his brothers had come against him. How that Saul came against him. How that his wife even came against him in some instances. And despite all of his trouble, how that he had to deal with Absalom and all of that mess with his family. Despite all of that, David said, I can go to sleep and sleep at night. I can have peace. Why? Because he was comforted of the Lord. Comforted of the Lord. So I see, first of all, I see a people comforted. Then secondly tonight, I see a people able to comfort. A people able to comfort. Notice verse 4. It said, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them. To comfort them. Notice the word able. That word able means having sufficient knowledge or skill, having complete power or strength. Paul was able to serve the Lord and help, and Paul was able to win souls the way he did was because he had been through some things and God had comforted his heart. You see here, Paul had experienced some things and he knew what it was to face some things. He looked at his world and he saw the comforts they had, but he realized they needed the God of all comfort. You know, when we go through things in life, why are we going through those things? Because God is equipping us to be able to help somebody else. You won't know Steve Rollins. You may know Steve Rollins. I don't know if you do or not. But Steve Rollins had a lot of great impact in my life. Steve Rollins came to me when I was 18 years old, and he said, Thomas, I want you to help me teach Sunday school. I said, yeah, I'd be glad to do that. I walked into the Sunday school classroom next Sunday, and it was all men, and the closest man in age to me was 65 years old. Now, I looked around that room, and I realized two of those men in there were men that stood up in business meetings, if you know what I'm saying. And I thought, man, what in the world am I going to tell them? But it did two things. It drove me to study the Word of God. It drove me to get in the Bible. But Brother Steve Rollins used to say this. He said, you know, I can't go to somebody that's lost a child and say, I know what you're going through. You say, why couldn't he? Because he never experienced the death of a child. But he said, I can go to somebody who's lost a spouse and say, I know what you're going through. Why? Because when Steve was a young man, his wife passed away. She died. You see, tonight I can't go to somebody and say, I know what it's like to lose a spouse. Now, I've lost her in Walmart, but I hadn't lost her as far as physically. But I can't go to nobody and say, hey, I know what it's like. I know what you're going through. I know what you're facing. But I can go to somebody that's lost a child and say, I know what you're going through. Why? Because I've been there. I've done that. I've faced that. You know, I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what situation you're facing. I don't know the trouble that you're going through tonight. But whatever it may be, God is equipping you so that you might be able to go and help someone else. The Bible says in Jude chapter 1 and verse number 22, and some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You see here, he knew what it was to experience, to have the comfort of God, and he was now equipped to help somebody else. I think about the world today in which we live in is suffering because good people don't do anything. You know, I think about people tonight who maybe have gone through a difficult time and we've experienced that. We ought to go to them and say, hey, I know what you're going through. I know what you're facing. And we can help them through those things. We must realize that God did not save us to sit by the wayside and let the world go to hell. But He saved us so that we might be able to help somebody else along the way. There's a lot of things that we've all experienced in this room. And there's a myriad of ways that we've been raised. There's a lot of things that we've gone through. There's a lot of things that we've faced. And understand this tonight. God has equipped us to be able to go out and comfort somebody else. Notice, thirdly tonight, not only that, but it says here, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Notice, I see thirdly, a people in need of comfort. A people in need of comfort. Those that are in any trouble. That word many means simply any. But that word trouble means afflicted. It means calamity. It means that which gives disturbance and annoyance or vexation, if you will. Paul said here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, Paul said that we could comfort those that were in trouble. I think Paul was thinking about those early Christians. Now understand this, these early Christians, they faced persecution. They faced uncertain times. They faced difficulties. They had some things that they had to overcome. They had challenges that they had to go through. And Paul said, you know what? We can comfort them and help them through these difficult times. I think Paul thought about those that might have been sick. He thought about Timothy and Silas. He thought about Luke and others who had been through all the trouble with him. And he said, you know what? I can give those people comfort tonight. He also thought of people such as the Philippian jailer and others around him. And he said, they're in need of comfort. You think about the busy day and age in which we live in. You think about what we face. There are people around us that need comfort tonight. I think about the situation as far as in the life of this church and where we're at now as far as seeking a pastor and all of that. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have to rely on each other. There's going to be some uncertainty. There's going to be some questions. There's going to be some concerns. There's going to be some things that's like, oh, what's going to happen? What's the new pastor going to be like? How's this going to work out? This, that, and the other, and so on and so forth. And understand, when we see each other struggling, we need to comfort one another and get together and help one another. I think about the Apostle Paul and his life, and in my imagination, I can't help but think that one day you're going to see a Roman legion in heaven. You say, why is that? Well, the Apostle Paul spent a lot of his life chained to a Roman soldier. And I cannot help but think that a lot of times those soldiers come in there and maybe they had shell shock or post-traumatic stress or whatever, and they were dealing with a lot of things. And the Paul said, you know what? I can tell you about somebody that can help you with that. I can tell you about somebody that can get you through that. Paul began to witness to those soldiers, and those soldiers began to get saved, and they would go back to the barracks, and the other men around them would see them sleeping at night, and they would think, how are they sleeping after what all we've been through? And they would ask them the next day, and they'd say, well, listen, this preacher told me about the God of all comfort, and time again, soldiers would be born again. You see, Paul had a desire to see others around him come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Not only that, but he saw Rome and its sexual perversion. He saw Rome and its murders. He saw Rome and its slavery. Rome and its injustice. And all of that, he wanted to help his world experience the God of all comfort. We need to realize tonight that our world is full of trouble. Our world needs someone to go out and show them compassion tonight. You know, there's enough hate in the world. There's enough people downing one another in the world, if you will. We as believers don't need to go out and look for somebody to tear apart and somebody to tear down. We need to go find somebody that needs comfort tonight. We need to go find somebody that we can lift up tonight. You think about the holiday season. You think about Christmas time and all of that. What better time to show compassion? What better time to show mercy and comfort to others around us? I say tonight that we as believers need to give the world Christ. We as believers need to give the drunk Christ. We as believers need to give the homeless Christ. The prisoner needs Christ. The liar needs Christ. The thief needs Christ. The morally depraved and the morally correct needs Christ. The rich and the poor needs Christ. The black, the white needs Christ. The educated, the uneducated, the young, the old, they all need the comfort of the Lord. So tonight, as we begin to close the thought, I leave you with three questions this evening. First of all, I ask the question, do you really know the God of all comfort? As I said earlier tonight, there's a lot of people that are struggling with things in life, and a lot of people have no peace in their life. And the reason they don't have the peace of God in their life is because they haven't experienced the grace of God. They've never experienced that new birth where salvation comes in their life and changes their life and takes them out of the mess that they're in and begins to get them in a right direction and begins to change their life. You know, I think about these inmates that we deal with and how that we go in and out of these prisons. A lot of them come up to you and they say, well, yeah, I'm saved, but I can't sleep at night because of yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I'm saved, but I don't have any peace in my life. I don't have any direction in my life. And we begin to deal with these men and talk with these men, and we get down to it. They've never experienced the grace of God. You know, there's a lot of folks that sit on church pews Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I'm not trying to make anyone doubt. But I know there's a lot of folks that sit and they doubt and they wonder and they don't realize, hey, if you're born again, you can have the peace of God in your life. And if you're not, maybe that's the Holy Spirit trying to convict you and draw you to that place of repentance. So tonight, do you really know the God of all comfort? Then I say, secondly tonight, are you in need of comfort? We all got burdens. We all got troubles. I'll be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. I'll just tell you the truth. This weekend I experienced, I'll be honest, it was satanic oppression like I haven't experienced in a long time. Probably about 4 or 5 years. And I tell you, it was on me like you would not believe. And I'm not saying, I don't know why it was there. I don't know what it was from. But man, I wasn't sleeping at night. I was battling with that thing, praying that thing. I was trying to get through that thing. And you think about it, I was in need of comfort this weekend. The only place I could find it was through prayer and through the Word of God, through occupying my mind and not dwelling on things. But I don't know who's here tonight. I don't know what you're going through. But I do know this. There ain't nobody here that's got an S on their chest and doing like this in a phone booth. I know we all got burdens. We all got trials. We all wondering what's the next year going to hold. We may be wondering how a health issue is going to work out. Maybe a relationship. Maybe a child. There's all types of things that are going on in our mind. Listen, if you're in need of comfort tonight, it can be found in the Lord. It can be found in the Lord. I think about, I've stood by the bedside of men. I don't believe I've ever stood by the bedside of anybody that's been lost, dying yet that I know of, but I've stood by the bedside of saved folks that are lost, and it's like they're at peace with what's going on. The family's at peace with what's going on. Why? Because the God of all comfort is present in their life. Tonight, if you're struggling with something, you're dealing with an area or a situation in your life, God can give you the comfort you need this evening. Then I say, lastly, are we comforting those in trouble? You know, understand this transition is not an easy transition. There may be some that get frustrated and kind of get away. We need to go get them. We don't need to sit back and say, oh, they're going to leave again because this or that or the other. This ain't an easy time in a church's life. And y'all know that. You think about somebody tonight. You think about those that maybe are facing difficulties beyond what we can even imagine. Think about the one that was mentioned. I can't remember the name right off. But dealing with what they're dealing with, there's a prayer list of people that need comfort tonight. There's a prayer list. You'd be amazed what a phone call would go and say, hey, we prayed for you. We called your name out in prayer tonight. You'd be amazed what that would do. As I said, we all come different walks of life. And we've all gone through different things in life. And as we've done that, we need to realize, say, hey, look, I need to be looking for who I can comfort. I need to be looking through for who I can help. I need to be looking for who I can lift up today. So in closing tonight, number one, do you really know the God of all comfort? Then secondly, are you in need of comfort tonight? Then lastly, are we comforting those in trouble? As Miss Lisa will come to the piano tonight, let's pray. Father, thank you for the time you've given me this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the liberty to preach thy word tonight. Father, I know, Lord, it seems like to me it's